day, friends, and welcome to Hashtag Music Ed Love. I'm your hostess, Angela Ammerman, and I'm so excited to welcome music educator, innovator, conductor, and chapter contributor, Angela Harmon, on to the podcast. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
We are so excited that you're here. I loved your chapter for the book, and I'm so excited to jump in. But before I do that, I'm going to read a little bit about Angela. Angela has a track record of substantially increasing enrollment in her orchestra programs. While teaching at Spanish Fork Junior High, she grew the program by over 440%. She currently teaches orchestra at Maple Grove Middle School in Mapleton, Utah, where she more than doubled the program from 140 to 290 in just 1 year. Angela frequently seeks out special opportunities for her students. In 2015, her program was selected for The World We All Deserve Through Music, where renowned Time for Three bassist Ranan Meyer composed a piece for the Spanish Fork Orchestra and visited in person to do a workshop with students. Like, who wouldn't want to be in this program? Angela was also recognized by the Utah Music Educators Association in 2017 with the Superior Accomplishment Award and received Best of State in Music Ed in 2020. She served as the UMEA Orchestra Vice President from 2018 to 2020 and is currently serving on NAFME's National Orchestra Committee. We are just so thrilled to have you here. And I know we're going to jump into more of your info, but before we dive in too much further, tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from originally? What is your life like right now?
Okay. I grew up mostly in Midland, Michigan, and I joined orchestra after I saw a recruiting show when I was in fourth grade. And I was super inspired, could not wait to do music. I'd always loved music. And I really, really wanted to play the saxophone. Like, that was my dream. I just wanted to play the saxophone. But my best friend, she just insisted that violin was the way to go. And she won that little argument. And so I went on the path of orchestra. And wow, it really defined my life ever since.
Wait, is she still playing violin, and is she still your best friend? What happened?
She moved away. We were like really competitive with each other on violin, like so competitive. It was honestly hard on the friendship. It really was. But anyway, she moved away and really started to focus on vocal performance type stuff, and I stuck with string instrument. What's hilarious is I go to college, I'm at like one of my first music theory classes, look across the room, and there she is. She was in my theory class in college. So funny.
Anyway,
now she's a lawyer. So.
Wow, amazing. It's so funny how little things like that can completely change the trajectory of your entire life. That's just amazing to me.
That's wow. So funny.
And what is your life like now? I follow you on social media, so I see you always doing cool things, but I know you also have a family and you've got all kinds of stuff going on, like all good things from what I see. So
yeah, well, I have my little side business that I just call orchestraclassroom.com, and I post, my blog is like my passion. I post all my ideas and inspiration and things that I've tried in my classroom that I get excited about. I love to post those things, partly just because I'm excited about it and I love to share, but partly it's almost like a teaching journal for me. So I can look back. I can't remember everything I do every year, but sometimes I'll search my own blog and be like, oh yeah, I can do that today. So it's a fun little journal. And it's just really fun for me to even social media share and connect with other people. And then I do have 5 kids. What's really fun is I've been able to teach all of my children in my own programs. And my daughter, who's my second child, she just had a college audition. She wants to go into music ed. So it's been a nice, fun journey with all my kids.
Oh, that's incredible. That's like living the dream to me. Cause I just have a 2-year-old at home. And so like, I dream of those days, but that is so, so exciting and great to hear how that's all worked out. Well, I love within your chapter, one of the very first things you shared is that your mindset is that of a CEO. What does that look like in reality for you?
I truly view my program as my business. And I feel like I have a product. I'm trying to deliver like an amazing, exceptional music ed experience in my classroom. And I don't just show up and do my thing. Like maybe I work too hard. Maybe I think about it too much. But every day I truly strive to offer just a really great, uplifting, engaging experience for my students. And my students and the parents, they are my customers. I feel like it's my responsibility to meet their needs and to have them enjoy the experience and get something out of it and even change lives. Is that what we're about in music ed? I mean, we're all about trying to change lives. So it is my responsibility to deliver that high quality, exceptional experience. And then, and that also means as CEO, if the delivery falls short or if there are shortages in my program, then it's on me to fix it. So I'm very careful not to blame others if it's not going how I want, even though it can be tempting. Like if my students mess up a particular performance, I might be like, well, they should have worked harder. But I'm very conscious to be self-reflective and take responsibility for any shortcomings that I see that I would like to change.
You know, that's so, it's so refreshing to hear that, because I feel like so many of our, especially like our younger teachers, there is this mentality of like, oh, it's somebody else's fault, always, 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 instead of taking ownership. And, you know, if we want to take ownership over all of the great things that are happening, then I think you're so right. Like when something doesn't go the way we want, we really need to take ownership over that as well so that we can fix it, right? Like, and I really appreciate that mindset. And I hope that your students and administration see that as well, because that's unfortunately is kind of rare these days, but I love that. Well, okay, your marketing materials are phenomenal. That's one of my favorite things about you. And one of the reasons that, like, when I think I reached out to you and was like, are you interested in writing a chapter for this book? And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, all of these materials she's got are phenomenal. And you sent me they're so cool for the book. So when you all see the book, you have to turn to Angela's chapter, which you will anyways, but check out all of the stuff. And then of course, check out her website as well. But tell us a little bit about your creative recruitment materials. How do you come up with these? What is your budget like? What do you use special programs, and do your students vote on stuff, or are you just kind of like, I know this about my students, so I'm gonna kind of plug it in? Sorry, there were a million questions.
Yeah, there are. Well, marketing materials. Yeah, no, you're good. Well, for marketing, I'm sure my I almost call them my children. My students would love to like help and design things, but that's something I really take on myself because it is my business. And I'm really particular about exactly how I want it done. So that's a part that I own and I take, because I know the vision that I'm trying to go with. I use mostly Microsoft Publisher, Adobe Photoshop, Illustrator. I use all of that stuff to create things. I use a lot of different materials. One is a flyer that students actually use to sign up for my class. And I have zombies playing violins all over it, just because I thought it was hilarious because of the show. I don't know, isn't that a terrible show? Probably no kids watch, but the zombies, you know, that was a big show for a while. So I decided it would be funny to vision a zombie takeover and just all of a sudden have this giant orchestra taking over the school. I just thought it was hilarious. So I put it on my flyer. Then I have a brochure with information that I designed that I tend to update every year just to give parents a heads up. That one's really more for parents. Then I have this postcard that I create with the zombies on it. And during my recruiting show, some of my students sneak out to the classrooms and put them all over the classrooms on kids' desks, so that after they see my show, they go back to their classroom and I'm still there. I'm everywhere. It is truly a zombie takeover. And I just have those printed at vistaprint.com. I just design them and use them every year. One year I had students even write on the back a little message why they love orchestra. I don't always do that because, like I say, I'm kind of controlling about what they write on the back. So I don't always do that. But then I use even mints. I've been designing mints with little logos for my program on it. And I get those at qualitylogoproducts.com. And I do fortune cookies. And this year I bought tiny little hand clappers because we played hand clap. And I threw them out to the audience if they guessed the song right. So all of these come as inspiration from different ways. Like fortune cookies came about because I talk to my students about how they are in control of their fortune and their future. And I encourage them to push themselves to learn and reach their potential, and that they could make anything happen if they'll work for it. So they actually even do an assignment where they write their own musical fortune. So then I thought, wouldn't it be cool with recruiting if you open up a fortune cookie and it just has that thought that, you know, this could be for you. that you have this future, this purpose, something that could really change their life. And I just love the idea of a kid who hears a inspiring music show and opens up that fortune and be like, you know, maybe I could do this. So I just love that. I get inspired from like everything, pop culture, toys, games. Whenever I go shopping, I'm seeing everything through my orchestra teacher lens. And I probably buy way too much stuff with my own money. But I'm always thinking, how can I use that in my class? Or what can I use that for? So I follow whatever's trending, whatever movies are out. And a lot of this is possible because I do have a very healthy budget. Students pay $20 just to be in my class. That's just per year. But if you have almost 300 kids, that's going to add up pretty nicely. And then I collect a rental fee for every student who rents a school instrument. And I do have a large inventory. A lot of that money has to go back into repairs or strings or rosin or things like that. But there is enough left over for any classroom activities and definitely for recruiting.
That's amazing.
Hey, music teacher, are you trying to grow your program? Look no further. The Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention is now here and available from giamusic.com. In this amazing resource, you will see a collaboration of music educators from all across the country who have grown their programs tremendously in all different situations. Complete the growth implementation plan and hand it to your administrator, showing them that growth is on its way. Fill in the Bringing Them Home text boxes to apply all of the content from the book to your unique situation and blow your program out of the water. We have a giveaway happening right now. If you are interested in getting your free autographed copy of the Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention, simply subscribe to my website at angelaammerman.com and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks and happy program building.
I watch you and I'm like, I don't even know how you manage it all. It's so cool. And I can only like, I can see a kid at your recruiting show that opens that fortune cookie. I can just see it in my head. And like, it gave me chills when you were talking about how neat that would be for after the show for them to open this and be like, this is going to change your life. And it is. And that's what we do. So it's just so cool. Well, I know you do tons of recruiting in different ways throughout the year. What does recruitment look like for you throughout your school year?
For me, recruitment might be a little bit differently because I do one big show. I do one big recruiting show. I visit each elementary school that feeds to my middle school. The rest of my recruiting, I feel, is really happens in how I run my classroom. It's how I deliver my product, which is that experience. And all the rest of my recruiting, it is people talking to people. And it's not even me doing it. It's students talk to other students about some cool thing they learned in class that day, or some exciting game we played, or something really funny that happened. Or a big thing with my recruiting is how I do my concerts. I have kind of an untraditional view of concerts, which could be a whole nother book, honestly, just because I don't know. I think I must suffer from ADD or something because I can't handle too long of a concert. I'll get bored. So I feel for these parents, especially where I live, families have a lot of children and they're busy and they go to a lot of their kids' events. And I've been to plenty of my own children's events. I love my kids. Everything they do is amazing. But let's face it, some of these events are rough to sit through. So I try and view my concerts through that lens of the audience and how can the audience engage? How is the audience going to react? I really plan my concerts to be for them. And so after I do that, people come up to me and say, we've never seen anything like this. This is amazing. And do they talk? Well, yeah, they all talk. And that is a big part of my recruiting.
I desperately want to come out and watch one of your concerts now.
There's one next week.
Oh my gosh. If only I could just hop over to Utah one day from Virginia to Utah. No big deal. I mean, I'll just pop by. Someday I'm going to be there and I'm going to be like, okay, listen, let's do this. It's going to be amazing. Well, okay. With the super innovative approaches you use, I would imagine that you have a massive following, but with that, sometimes, unfortunately, can come some friction with colleagues. So I hope it's okay that I ask this question, but I would imagine that you create serious waves in the best way in the orchestra world. But sometimes I know that's difficult. So how do you maintain healthy relationships with colleagues when there may be some challenges with their own enrollment?
Now, I've only had that happen to me really once. That was a really negative experience where I out-recruited a teacher who I taught with at my school who was very, very threatened by that. And it did make for a tough relationship and really not a healthy experience to go through, honestly. I think looking back, I probably should have toned down a little bit of my like recruiting efforts, just a tad. But now going forward and learning from that experience, I'm very careful to be respectful of all the other artists and all the other art forms. And I would always support one. I mean, I always support everyone that comes to me. If I have a kid coming up to me and saying, oh, I'm trying to decide between your class or this other band class or whatever, I'm never going to be like, oh, for sure, only do mine. I'm saying, hey, what would interest you more? Very careful about what I say and make it very fair. And but right now I work with some great colleagues who agree with this thought that there are plenty of students to go around. And that's the truth. There's no way I'm teaching every single student that comes in my school. That's just not possible. I would die. I mean, I need them. I need them to teach the group of students that's for them. And if we all focus on our own classrooms and our own experience that we're trying to create, that enrollment starts to take care of itself. It really shouldn't be about a competition. It should be about focusing on the experience we're offering to our students. And then the students come based on where they're drawn to. And that should be the focus, not the competition, but creating that experience that draws the students to us.
Yeah, I so agree. And I'm sorry you had to go through that original experience as well. I know some of my students, you know, when they graduate, they have similar experiences. And it is hard to deal with sometimes when you're like, I'm trying to do my job. Like, do I really have to tone it down because you're feeling frustrated? And so they've dealt with that same thing. And it's really challenging. So I think that, like, from what I hear from you, it sounds like you are like, almost like extremely respectful to everyone else. And I think that that's a great way to just kind of make sure that you manage that, because it can be difficult. Well, I was just going to read a quote from one of your students in your chapter that you shared with us. This student, after she graduated, sent this to you, and she said, thank you for teaching me how to read music and playing the violin. Thank you for letting us participate in festivals and competitions. Thank you for teaching me that nothing is impossible. And I read that quote and I was like, ah, and this is among the millions of reasons that I'm so happy that we have a chapter from you in the book so that we can share all that you're out there doing. But, you know, is this something, like, do you feel like being an orchestra director with middle school kids, like, that you're uniquely able to direct their path, you know, toward that mindset of like, I can really accomplish something special here?
I really think that's what I'm about. I remember I went to an event once where they wanted me to stand up and just tell about what my job was. And when I stand up and tell people, what do? I could just say, well, I'm an orchestra teacher, but in my head, that's not really how I view my job. My job is I inspire. I'm trying to inspire and motivate students to fulfill their potential and see what they're capable of. That's what I do every day, is I'm trying to light that spark inside of students. And even if they don't stick to music, I'm hoping that they discover that, wow, if I put this little bit of effort into something I'm passionate about, there's no stopping me. Like, I could do anything. And that's what my class is about. That's the culture. That's what I hope they get from me in the end.
Oh, I love it. Well, okay, what is next for you and your fabulous life, Angela Harmon?
Well, I'll keep doing my orchestraclassroom.com because I love to create. I'm constantly loving to create and do new things. Like, every weekend I should relax, but on Saturdays I'm thinking, what can I make today? Always doing that. I've been writing some music. I'm delving into new ways to handle assessment and grading. And that's my like latest pet project I've been posting about. Like, I've for years I've done playing tests. And after all these years of thinking about assessment, I've decided there's a better way. And I'm working on implementing just new ways of self-reflection, peer assessment, guided practice, and no more torturous playing tests. So that's what I'm passionate about now. Love to present on that topic sometime.
We could all use your advice on that topic. That's a big hot issue for so many of us. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody, please go check out the Angela's chapter right away and check out orchestraclassroom.com so you can see all of the amazing resources that Angela has, and do follow her on social media because she is always posting and I'm always like, oh, even I know your stuff is not meant for a two-year-old, but I'm like, can I adjust this for my son and make it work for him? And so it's always so exciting to see. I do want to send a huge shout out to those of you who have been following us on social media and remind you all to subscribe and leave us a review, please. Every star counts, and we absolutely love hearing from you. We hope that this week you will be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all of your students, uncover the greatness within a few more young humans and zombies, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking! Bye!